Good morning and welcome to One Life Church. My name is Pastor Guy. If I haven't had the blessing and privilege of meeting you, I would love that opportunity. We are in now week three of a four-week series called My Big Fat Mouth. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but my big fat mouth so often gets me in trouble. When you get out and you're like, man, why did I say that? Where did I come from? I'm only supposed to think those things. Why'd I tell them that, right? So we've been hitting some hot topics on this. We talked about complaining and then God's heart for how we respond to our complaining attitude. And we've talked about criticism and how God wants us to respond to a critical attitude. And then next week we're going to... I got to be careful what I tell you guys. You might not come back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about gossiping. And today, we're talking about lying. So when we get on these hot topics, a lot of times, we have to talk about things that are difficult. But I don't know if you've ever opened and read your Bible. It's hard to read the Bible and not find things that are difficult, right? And I don't mean difficult like hard to understand. I mean difficult like this one punches me in the gut. Because God's perfect standard's way up here, and I'm still, but by the blood of Christ, I'm getting there. And when I step into heaven one day, praise God, I will be there. So today, my big fat mouth gets me in trouble. My big fat mouth lies. We're going to talk about the devil's plan with lying. We're going to talk about God's plan with how we use our tongues. And forgiveness and healing. But I ask you first to join me in an opening word of prayer before we crack open God's word. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you so much for the blessing of coming together on this beautiful rainy Sunday morning. There are so many things we look forward to in the fall, like Thanksgiving and family time and hunting. And Lord, I pray that today you'll just help just to ease our minds and our hearts and all the troubles that we bring into this moment and just help us to just sit those aside and allow us to fully focus on what it is that you have for us today as we worship you and we grow in our faith. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your holy name. Amen. Well, if you look back through your life and you look back into your childhood, I don't know what you'll see, but I see every now and then I'm going to see these spotted things, these moments where I've lied, these moments where I've fibbed, these moments where I've stretched the truth for various reasons. I have this in me to stretch the truth. I'll tell you, there's one time when I was in elementary school, I was probably in third or fourth grade, and our church did these children's plays. Many of you have been involved in these children's plays, and so I would always try out for these children's plays, and I'd be really excited. I'd say, okay, I'm gonna get a good role this time, right? I'm gonna get some center stage. I'm gonna get some lines. Like they're gonna let me. I can do this, right? Like, my aunt was even one of the leaders. I'm like, come on, aunt, come on, please give me a line. But I always found myself, just like in school, I found myself, like, just kind of cast into the choir. It's like, oh, you just sing back here. You're not good enough. You can't be the face. I'm like, oh, man. But then this one particular time, it wasn't a speaking role, but it was a center role, and I was really excited about it. Because we do, like, these Old Testament stories. And on this one particular time, we're doing this play in front of the church, and I'm up there on stage, and I look out across the congregation, and sitting in the front row right in front of me was this girl from school, this cute girl from school, right? Like, she didn't go to our church, but for whatever reason, she was at this play, and I'm up front, and I'm like, getting a little nervous, you know, the palms get sweaty because not only do I have to be in front of everybody and do everything right, but now this cute girl from school's right here. As soon as the play was over, I went out in the lobby and, you know, we're shaking hands, giving high fives. Everybody's like, you did so great. And my mom comes walking over and she's like, hey, did you see that girl from school was here today? No. Uh-uh. What are you talking about? What girl? And my mom was like, she was in the front row. You didn't notice her? I said, no. No idea. And that ripped my heart out instantly because I was like, man, I just lied to my mom. And it's such a silly little pointless lie, but it ate at me for that in my little heart, and it stuck with me for a long time. One of the first things we learn to do is to lie. My 2-year-old will catch himself lying. We'll catch him lying. I say, did you throw that food on the floor on purpose or on accident? And with this big grin, on accident. And we know full well that he paused because he was thinking about it before he threw it. Now, I'm not going to ask you guys to raise your hands and tell me who's lying, because I think some of you might lie when I ask you to do that. I don't want to cause you to lie in church. So we're going to let that one pass on. But according to the University of Massachusetts, did a study, 60% of people cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying. So I'm going to try to get this whole message out in under 10 minutes. Just to be safe, right? 60% of people without embellishing or stretching the truth or outright lying. And why do we do that, right? I mean, we all have our reasons, but there's so many different things in the situations. Like, you know, we might be trying to impress people. We might be trying to avoid conflict. We might be trying to get away with something or shifting blame to somebody else. Or maybe we just want to be nice. It's like, man, I really like your outfit today. I wouldn't be seen dead in that, right? Now, Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Excuse me. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Now, the Hebrew word, the original language word for detests in this context is toe ba, which the definition of that is something detestable or disgusting or an abomination or something that is repulsive or possibly nauseating. Something that causes us to be nauseous. So when we lie, you could literally say that God is repulsed by it. That God is turned off by it, that God is disgusted by it, that it actually makes him a little nauseous. It gives him those knots in his stomach because he just detests lying. This is the God we serve. Doesn't like it. Not the big ones, not the little ones, not the white ones. See, I like the richness of this passage here in Ephesians. I want to show you. Ephesians 4:21-25 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. We're all parts of the same body. Put on the new life and stop telling lies. Now, if you've been around many like Southern Baptist kind of preachers, you ever seen the Southern Baptist like preach it really deep from the belly, like just really harping on things? Like this is like Billy Graham in his prime days, like kind of really come out. It's like from deep inside the belly, you say, you may never be more like the devil than when you lie. You ever heard that before? You may never be more like the devil than when you lie. See, I can't even do it. I don't even got that in me, do I? But Jesus would agree with this statement, because when he spoke about the devil in John 8:44, he says this, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Other translations say when he lies, he's speaking his native tongue. He's speaking his native language. It is who he is. So perhaps, one of the reasons why God hates lying so much is because lying is the very nature of his number one top spiritual enemy, Satan, the prince of darkness, the accuser, the fallen angel. He uses his number one top weapon is to lie and deceive us. He is a liar, but Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. We can have freedom in God's truth. My brother, my younger brother used to wear a shirt around that he got at a youth convention. Just simply, it's just big red shirt, but in bold letters just said, the devil is a liar. And how true that is. The devil is a liar, and he's lying to us constantly to steal from us the quality of our life and to steal from us the joy that we have in Christ. Our enemies, I'm going to propose to you that the devil has a plan. I'm going to propose to you that the devil has a three-point plan as pertains to lying. And whenever he lies, he's speaking his own character to draw us away from the truth of Jesus using his great weapon, the lie. So here are the things, and you've got these on your bulletin there if you are a fill-out-the-blank kind of person. We did that today for you. The devil's plan, number one, is to get you to lie. The devil wants us to lie, and that takes on a lot of different forms. See, we might be exaggerating stories to impress friends. You might be cheating on tests or lying about where you were or making something up about someone or sharing these partial truths or leaving out details because those are the details that might hit you with the gotcha, or painting the story to your benefit and ignoring the other side of the story. Or maybe you're saying, well, you won't believe, you're telling someone a story and then you're like, well, you won't believe what I said to her next. Like, did you really say that? No, but I thought it. And if I would have said it, I'm telling you, she'd have had what was coming her way, right? See, we embellish. And you ever been in that situation where you're out with somebody and it's just the two of you and you experience something, and then you go and you see someone else and the person you're with starts telling the story about this experience that you had, and you're standing there and you're like, that is not at all what happened. I was there. But that's a better version of it, so I'm in. Like, I wish it would have gone down like that. You know what I mean? Now, I wish I could say that I've never done this, and I'm sure that you've never done this, but the devil wants to get us to lie, and sometimes we lie in the most insignificant, like, pointless ways. Have you ever told a completely pointless lie? And after you lie, you're like, what was that about? Have you ever done that? I'll give you an example. One time when I was working for my dad, I was out delivering tools for him one day, and I was going to a place kind of near Worthington, and I'm coming from Katanning into Worthington, and I'm right there at the red light, and I'm talking to my dad on the phone because I was having a little bit of trouble finding where I was going, and I'm talking to him, and he tells me where to turn. And as he's telling me where to turn, he asks me if I've turned there yet, and as I'm continuing straight, looking down, I said, yep. Have you done that? And as soon as I said it, God, what was that for? How pointless of a lie was that? I felt completely at a loss. The devil wants to get us to lie. And the second thing I offer you as his three-point plan is to get us to lie to ourselves. He wants to get you to lie to yourself. Because we start telling lies and we start rationalizing these lies, and then next thing you know, people are like, are you sure that's what happened? So you double down on the lie. You're like, yeah, that's what happened. Why are you questioning me? See, we lie so often that we start to believe our own lies, and we start to fool ourselves, and then we're convinced that we're the victim, and then we're convinced we're not hurting anybody, and then we're convinced I can quit any time. And what happens is, you're no longer lying to other people, but you're now lying to yourself. You're now convincing yourself that this is the truth to get yourself off scot-free. He wants us to lie to ourselves. Now, this is exactly what King David did in the Old Testament when he thought that he was above the rules. Now, here's the scene, and you may know this story, you may not. Here's the scene. So King David was supposed to be at war with his men, but instead he decided to stay back at the palace. So mistake number one, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And so one night he's out and he's on the roof of his palace, and I don't know if this has ever happened in your neighborhood, but he's on the roof of his palace and he looks out across the landscape of the city and there's a woman bathing naked on her rooftop. Does that happen where you live? That's news to me. But this happened back then, and he looks across and he's like, wow. And the word is, so he goes and he gets his servant. He's like, hey, go get her for me. So the servant goes and he gets the girl for him, and he brings the woman to David, and David commits adultery with this woman, and he quickly realizes what he's done, and he starts lying to cover up this sin. Lie after lie after lie to cover this up, and he eventually devises a plan to trick everybody and to cover up his sin by bringing her husband Uriah back so that maybe he'll go home for the night and he'll sleep with her and then everything will be okay. But when the husband comes back and doesn't give in to David's plan, he essentially puts Uriah, the husband of this woman, he puts him at the front lines of battle so that he can be killed. A little while after that, the prophet Nathan comes and he approaches King David and he says, you know what, David? Let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a very rich and powerful man who had more wealth and more herds and more animals than you could imagine. And then there was a very poor man who had this little lamb and his kids loved this little lamb and it was like a pet to this man. But one day, this rich man had someone hungry came to his house, and instead of killing one of his many lambs, he instead went to the poor man's house, and he took his one lamb, and he killed that lamb to feed the poor man, to feed the hungry man. When David heard this story, he looked on at the prophet Nathan, and he was just furious, and he burned with anger, and he said, "That is horrible. That man should pay for his crime and be put to death." And Nathan looked squarely at David and said, "You are the powerful man in this story." Some of us today, as the devil is trying to get us to live a lie, now let me warn you, the Holy Spirit may speak to you and say, "You're the man or you're the woman that's been lying to others, and now you're beginning to lie to yourself because your number one spiritual enemy, Satan, he wants you to speak his language. He wants us to speak his native tongue. He wants us to speak out of his character, the evil in our hearts. He wants us to lie to ourselves and convince ourselves that when we've done wrong, when we've told lies, it's all good. And we continue to cover it up. Now, the third one I'll give you in this three-point plan, and I don't think that this is many of you, certainly not most of you, but it is some of you. And the third one is the devil wants to get you to live a lie. So we lie to ourselves. So he gets us to lie, and then he gets us to lie to ourselves and convince ourselves it's all good. And then he wants us to live a lie. Now, let me give you some examples of here's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about when you live a lie is to say I'm this, but I live like this. To put on my face and walk out with this one reputation, with this one representation, but then when nobody's looking, I'm living over here. I've lived like that in the past, and it's exhausting. It is exhausting. Now, some examples. So say at work or at school or wherever it is that you spend the most of your time, you're the Christian guy or you're the Christian girl that's got everything right. And whenever they sit around, like when you sit with them at the lunch table or you're at break, and they're like, "Okay, so we don't. All right, well, you're the Christian guy. You're the quote unquote goody two shoes. So I'm not going to swear in front of you. We can't tell the dirty stories because you're sitting at the table with us," and you carry this reputation. But then you go home and your life looks nothing like that. It looks nothing like that. I want everyone to think that I'm this perfect Christian man, but I've secretly got this raging porn addiction that no one's allowed to know about. Or maybe you're the mom who has it all together. Maybe, you know, you portray this amazing life on Facebook and Instagram, and everything that you do is Pinterest perfect, right? It's like all the clothes and the vacation and the backyard, and everything is clean and organized, and everything is homemade, right? We sew our own clothes, and we make our own laundry detergent. We do everything. That's what you portray to the world, but then secretly at home, you are constantly lonely and uncomfortable and depressed and feeling so isolated day after day. But there's no one that you're willing to talk to about that. Or maybe you come to church and everyone at church thinks that you have this perfect marriage and you put up this front and you act the part and you look the part, and then you go home and you sleep in separate beds and you don't want anything to do with each other. The devil wants us to live a lie rather than be honest and vulnerable with God and with others. He wants us to live a lie. Now, if this stuff makes you feel uncomfortable, or my examples make you feel uncomfortable, that's probably because the Holy Spirit wants you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want credit for that. I don't want blame for that. He's saying, it's you, let's work on that. The devil wants us to tell lies about ourselves, tell lies to others, and then live a lie. Now, quite honestly, if this doesn't feel serious, it probably may be come to get more serious. But it's really hard to talk about lying and not get kind of down that path. But as a pastor, this is honestly one of my greatest fears, is that knowing that the devil is a deceiver, what I'm really, really afraid of is that you are deceived into believing that you are a Christian when you may not actually be one at all. This is a legitimate concern of mine, because so often we think, well, since I go to church every now and then and I'm an American and I'm not a Buddhist or a Muslim, then I'm a Christian. But then when you really, really look at your life, there's no evidence of spiritual fruit or anything that's different from the world or anything that's different from your non-Christian neighbors. See, a lot of us think, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've met people like that, or I remember having conversations with people like that in school, and it's like, dude, are you a Christian? Yeah, I guess. When the sentence comes through, that's the box I check. That counts, right? But guess, even though nothing in life resembles Christ, and yet we're called to be little Christians. And this is honestly my greatest fear. If there's anything that I wander about and struggle with as pertains to the body of Christ that I've been asked to pastor, it is, dear God, please don't let people hear my sermons and miss Jesus. Please don't let people miss the cross. This is how the Apostle John said it. In 1 John 2:4, he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If nothing about your life looks like a desire to obediently in faith follow the commandments of God, to say I'm a Christian, to say I know him, to say this is who I am and not live it is lying. If this is us, we're lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us, and we're speaking the devil's native language. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we lie. You make yourself look better. Maybe you want to get out of trouble. Maybe you want to shift the blame. Now, I lied to my mom about seeing the girl because it made me uncomfortable as a kid to know that my mom would now know that I liked girls. And now I can assure you she's really glad I like girls. You know, Now, I lied to my dad because I didn't want him to know that I was wasting company time and company resources by missing the turn. And I didn't want him to think I was incompetent and couldn't navigate. And so I wanted to put my best foot forward. I didn't want to look bad. Now, I went back, and as soon as I got back to the shop, I confessed that to him. I said, you know, I said I turned. I didn't turn. And he just laughed at me, and he's like, well, if that eats at you, at least I know you're not embezzling. Good to know. And I came clean with my mom, too, several years later. Now, here's a statement that I believe is true that I want to share with you guys today. The root reason most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. The root reason most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. We believe the lie will work better than the truth, that the lie will work better than just letting God work it out. See, we believe that telling the lie is going to keep me safe and secure and keep me out of trouble. But then after we tell the lie, fear sets in and we're afraid we're going to get found out. Or we tell the lie because we think it'll help us avoid conflict, but then we find out later that the best relationships in our life are on the other side of the conflict. The best, most deepest, most open, most no hidden secrets, no hidden part relationships that we have in our life are post-conflict, and they involve honesty, vulnerability, to know that I can have a conversation with my wife and there is nothing to hide. You can't pay for that kind of peace. You can't buy that kind of peace. It is the place to be. So here's what I want to present to you now. What is God's plan? So who is the devil? We've established he is the father of lies, and he has goals for your life and plans for your life as pertain to lies. But who is Jesus? Jesus is the truth. Jesus said that in John 8:32. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lies bring bondage, but the truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage, but the truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage. Lies bring chains, but the truth brings freedom. Satan wants us to tell lies, believe lies, live lies, but Jesus wants us to walk in the truth, experience the truth. The truth will ultimately set us free, and Satan has a plan to get you to lie, to get you to believe the lie, to get you to live the lie, but God has a plan too. And God's plan is simple, but it is powerful, it is freeing. And what is that plan? The plan is simply this. I've consolidated it for you. The plan is simply, we confess to God for forgiveness and to people for healing. We confess to God for forgiveness and to people for healing. We confess to God for forgiveness. Step one. We confess to people for healing. 1 John 1:9 says it this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness. I love this. Do you love this? Do you like this? Are you with me on this? See, we confess to God and what does he do? What does he do? We confess to God. He cleanses us. He washes us clean. He forgives us. He separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hold them against us anymore. It's gone. Literally gone. How many times have you found yourself in this perpetual keep asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over again? And I'm telling you, after the first time you repent, God says, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? I don't remember that. Because God can forgive and forget. We struggle with forgetting, but God can forget. It's gone. He is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to cleanse and forgive us and separate us from the sin. Not for him, but for you, because he already knows that we've sinned. So we confess to him, we admit to him, we say, I need your forgiveness and I need your grace, and we receive that grace. But this is only a portion of the life-transforming power of confession. And this is where many people stop. And this is why so many people don't find freedom and healing that God's word teaches us that we can have. Because we get saved and we sit down. We punch our ticket and we go home. But we don't dig into the life that God calls us to live as Christians. What do? We confess to God for forgiveness, but then in the body and in Christian relationships, people you can trust and walk with. We confess to people for healing. This is what James, the half-brother of Jesus, this is how he said it in James 5:16. He said, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to people for healing. And that's where healing power in our relationships begin to take root and begin to make change. Because the best relationships that you live are post-conflict. The best relationships that you have with people, with other Christians especially, are the ones where we can be completely vulnerable. The ones where you can say, yeah, my buddy over here, let me tell you what kind of sinner he was. But let me tell you the testimony in that when Jesus changed his life and he is washed clean. He is washed clean. Look at him today. When Kinsley and I don't tell stories about Kinsley without permission. I'm very cautious. But when Kinsley and I started dating, we came into that relationship. We both had our fair share of struggles in the past, in previous relationships, some garbage or baggage, if you will. And then we also had some garbage or baggage as pertained to kind of struggling in our walks with Christ up until at that moment. And we had this day. We'd been dating. We'd only been dating for 3 months. And it was really on this day that I kind of already had a feeling things were probably, I was like, we might make it. You know what I mean? It's like, I could probably marry this girl, right? But it was on this day that I was like, oh man, I think we're going to make it. Because here's what we did. And I don't recommend this necessarily to everybody. It's got to probably be the right person. But here's what we did. We actually had a day where we sat down 3 months in, and it was kind of like an all cards on the table day. It was like full on confession day. Not everybody needs to do this, but it has been huge for us. It was, hey, here's some of the things I've done. Here's some of the mistakes I've made. Here's some of the reasons why my previous relationships failed. Here's where I was with God a year ago. Here's where I'm at today. And we just laid it all out. Just laid it all out on the table. And it was just like, hey, you know, I've sinned. I've betrayed God. I've betrayed my future spouse. I'm absolutely damaged. But on that day, we both found grace. And we both found healing. Because I shared things with her that had only been between God and I. And she looked at me with no judgment. And she just said, well, you've repented of that, haven't you? I said, yeah. Well, if God washed you clean, why should I hold it against you? I see you as clean and pure and forgiven. Because that's how God sees you. And I experienced grace and healing in my person and in my relationship with her. It was huge. It set us on a path towards marriage and towards the depth of marriage that we have today. And I tested her too, because there was one thing I held back till the next night. A real juicy one I didn't want to share. No. There was grace on night two as well. But she loved me through that. And I knew that on that day that we were probably going to make it because now I had freedom. I had healing. I had nothing to hide. There were no lies. There were no secrets. It was just, I love you for you, and I love that you are forgiven. Because there is nobody squeaky clean enough to get into heaven. And God blessed me with a wife who was mature enough to not just know that intellectually, but to believe that in her heart. So when I sought healing from her and she sought healing from me, it changed the trajectory of our life and the depth of our relationship. Same for you. Speak to God for forgiveness. Speak to others for healing. Find mature Christians that you can dig into and say, okay, hey, this is where I'm at. Will you walk with me in that? Because not everybody can handle that. Not every Christian's ready for that. It's got to be in the context of relationship. You've got to be with someone who is willing to go deep with you. And this is my prayer for the church. I want to see our church get wide. But it is so much more important by God's standard that we are deep. Are you going deep with God? Are you digging into scripture? Are you digging into prayer? Are you digging into God to be the center of all your relationships? That's where you're truly going to grow. That's where you're truly going to be impactful for the kingdom of God. That's where our church, our body, when we come together, that's where we're actually going to make impact in this room and beyond this room. You got to go deeper with God. You got to trust each other. You got to trust the Christians in your life. And if you find a Christian that you tell someone to, they don't, and you're like, oh, I can't trust them anymore, don't write off the whole community. Don't write off every Christian. You just know that you can't trust that one right now. But I pray that you will speak the truth of Jesus, not the lies of Satan. That God's plan will override the plans of Satan in your life. I invite you to join me for a word of prayer as the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a closing song. And then after we're done singing, I'll ask you to just hang tight for a little bit longer. We've got a big announcement that we want to take a moment for as well. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your truth found in Jesus Christ alone, that you sent him to take our place and that we can find forgiveness in confession to you. And Lord, I praise you for the call to be vulnerable and find healing with others. Lord, may we always be a people who are seeking forgiveness and seeking healing as we make an impact for you as disciples of the cross of Christ, disciples of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. Amen.